Power Hour. It's the one. Power Hour. It's the who. Power Hour. Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives. Power Hour. It's the one. Power Hour. It's the who. Power Hour. Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics. Every Saturday morning, you need to be tuning in. Wake up, get crust out your eyes. We about to go live, so come get the schooling in. About our oppression, we answer the questions like, how do we get out this low estate? We let the scripts prophesy. We bringing the Bible to life so that you relate. The world thinks we're rejects, but that word we reject. Watch and we'll show you precept upon precept, line upon line. The scripts say we're the greatest, and they can't debate it. Salvation is only for the blacks, Hispanics, and natives.
Power, power. The one, power, power.
It's the who,
power, power.
Yeah, yeah.
Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power, power.
It's the one,
power, power.
It's the who,
power, power.
Yeah, yeah.
Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power, power.
It's the one,
power, power.
It's the who,
power, power.
Yeah, yeah.
Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power, power.
It's the one,
power, power.
It's the who,
power, power.
Hey, shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour, Native Latin and Black Biblical Topics. We are back in the studio. All praises to the Most High and Christ. They've let us loose.
Who let us loose?
They've let us loose. They've let us loose. So we're back in. We took some of this downtime. Some of you pay attention to this. See, we got some sound in the studio now. Mm-hmm. I think it sounds a little different, even, right? It's doing what it's supposed to do.
I don't know. I feel like that ride where you stick to the wall.
Oh, that, yeah, that Playland. They used to have it at Playland, and then the floor would open up, and you just stuck to the walls, you spin.
Playland. I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah. Oh, praises. Hey, yeah, I was going to say, adjust the shot because you don't see the top of the sign there.
It's called the Roundup. That was the name of the ride.
Yeah, the Roundup. The Roundup. Yep. So, yeah, we're back in the studio. I'm so grateful for that. And that means we'll be able to congregate today. Maybe see some of my quarantine weight.
Hey,
I was down 10 pounds before the quarantine. And it took me like 3 months to get down 10. And it only took, 6 weeks to get back them 10? Goodness gracious.
Hey, these weeks have been flying by, right? But this week felt like it took forever only because I was so amped to get here.
Hey, I know. I was happy that the governor announced it so early, the release. Because last time he waited till the day before.
Do something
juicy. But see, that was, I know, right? But see, that was if he would have waited the day before, I would be like, oh, we're not going to be able to.
Yep.
We're not going to be able to get together. But we're back. We're back. And I want to dive right in because we still have several headings of the health thing. It's been very popular. People have been excited about it. I was speaking with Bishop about it the other day, let him know that we've been kind of going over that stuff. And I think it's been great. I think a lot of the brothers and sisters have gotten good feedback, right? Maybe we're lining you up to see now when you go to get hired, you could be like, listen, I'm going to bring about at least 50 patients with me, if not more.
That's right.
Right? And, you know, you can maybe negotiate a little something, get a little percentage where you end up working or something like that.
It's a something.
Yeah. Just if it's in the East Valley, though, I'm not going. No, do it central. Go somewhere central. You got an East Valley. You got to be driving an hour to the doctor.
I never knew how far that really is until I moved here.
Yeah, I know, right? The valley's pretty big. It's bigger than what people really, I think, because the map doesn't do it justice. But when you're driving for 59 minutes, you're like, damn, this
go to his house.
No, and it's not like New York 59 minutes where you're going 10 miles, stop and go. You're driving for 59 minutes.
Right, it's pure.
Yeah,
it's pure.
It's pure miles.
It's a pure 59 minutes.
It's the pure 59 minutes. It's the pure. Anyway, we have our beloved sister Safia back, all right? The sister is has spent the last 5 years. And really, I mean, even before that, right, she had intent to do this. So I know you probably just the school preparation for this and your studies for this. But she spent the last 5 years in this program. And like I said, she's a stone's throw away from being a naturopathic doctor. And like I said, I can't say enough. I've seen just even in the years that I've been here. And I love how humble she is. But she says, hey, you know, I was kind of you know, no, it got to be this way and that. And she's like, now working in the clinical setting and your studies and hands-on experience, right, which I can't stress enough, mm-hmm. has kind of shown you like, hey, there's a way to do this completely holistically, right? Because I think sometimes we think of holistic and we say no conventional medicine, right? And there's just some things that you have to, but let's do our best to avoid getting to that point, right? So that we're not trying to get fixed. It's like if you change the oil and you follow the maintenance schedule on your vehicle, you're less likely to have breakdowns. And if they do happen, it's not because of neglect. It's just something that, you know, was maybe out of your control, right, as far as that. Right. You know, like you can't prepare for a flat tire, right? That's going to that may happen. Depends on where you're at or whatever. But there's other ways that you can go to maintain yourself. And I think that's the biggest thing. And as we start to move down this agenda that we had for the show and this topic, we're going to start talking a little bit more about that sort of stuff. So welcome back to the show. Thank you for being here with us. And I think we went in a little bit about the sleep apnea. I think we got to pick up with diabetes, right, and autoimmune diseases a little bit. And we should be able to, I think, cover the rest of the topics here this week. So I'm just going to throw it to you. And I know you wanted to talk a little bit about, you had this listed here, diabetes was next and then autoimmune disease. So go right ahead and speak to us, educate us.
The floor is yours.
Get a little bit closer to that, or pull it closer to you. That's fine. Yep, there we go. And can you increase the gain on her mic a little bit over there? She's the yellow. Yellow.
Yellow. Uh-huh. Hey, shalom, happy Sabbath, Captain Amariah.
Shalom, God, happy Sabbath, Captain.
I didn't even say I'm Captain Yashua. I just went right in.
I know. Okay.
There we go.
All right. Excited.
Okay,
excited.
Go ahead, sister.
All righty. So, shalom, Israel. Can you all hear me? Is
it
good? Okay, good.
You good?
So diabetes, let's just get right into it. Diabetes is, us as a people, Blacks, Blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans are number one in diabetes. You know, most of the diabetic patients I see in the clinic are either one of these races. And now this is a huge problem because it's the single most pendent risk factor for COVID. Because we know that diabetes decreases the body's immune system functioning. Now, there's two types of diabetes. There's type 1 and there's type 2. And I see this a lot on the internet, people just throwing stuff out there. If you have diabetes, you don't need insulin, you don't need this, you can just take these herbs. No. Type 1 diabetes is your pancreas, the organ that secretes insulin, is no longer doing what it's supposed to do for whatever reason, right? You do need insulin if you're type 1 diabetic. I just want to put that out there.
Right.
I see a lot of stuff on Facebook, and sometimes I ask Ruben, should I say something? Like, and he's like, no, just leave it alone.
because, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where some people, they're gonna take it personal, and not that you're... We often tend to identify with whatever we align with in our beliefs, and people will tend to then defend that. I often feel the same way when I think of severe caries, and people say, no, you can just heal it with some oil, or severe periodontal disease, and you could just do oil pulling, and that's going to – and it's like the evidence doesn't bear that out. Like, you know, so it's frustrating to me, you know. Maybe from a preventative standpoint, I understand the value of doing things like that, but once you have a gaping hole in your tooth, right? Like it needs to be filled or extracted or whatever it is, because I know personally on my wife's side, she had an aunt that had a tooth pulled, didn't follow the instructions, got an infection that went septic, and she died within 30 days. Because she had a gaping hole there that she wasn't following the instructions and the guidelines, was not on any type of antibiotic to prevent that. Mm-hmm. And it got into her bloodstream and it was a wrap, you know? So something as simple as that. And then, you know, people are going to be on there. Let me just pull some oil in my mouth and that's going to fix it. So I get what you're saying, especially with something like diabetes as well, being so severe to then not take what you need to process what's there. So you were talking about type 1, the pancreas stops doing what it needs to do.
Right. And I have seen instances where we are able to restore the functioning of the pancreas. I read a lot of research articles and a lot of old school books.
Mm-hmm.
And I shadowed a few doctors who particularly specialize in diabetes. And I have seen them restore the function of the pancreas. Right. What you have to do is figure out what the cause is. Because the number one reason why the pancreas stopped producing insulin is infection. You know, most of the cases, the patients either get some kind of flu infection or whatever, and then a month later, the pancreas stops doing what it's supposed to do. Sometimes it's autoimmune diseases can cause the pancreas to stop doing what it's supposed to do. So sometimes it's mental, emotional, and I have seen that. People, like, go through different, like, stresses and traumas in their life, and they don't fully heal from that or, like, work through that. And so it starts affecting different organs. So I have seen the function of the pancreas being restored, but it's definitely not by the things that people are posting on Facebook. And
right.
You have to take the insulin if you need it. And even with some type 2 diabetic patients, you do need the insulin. You do need the meds. And that's what we do in the clinic. So if we have a diabetic patient, depending on where the hemoglobin A1C level is at, if your hemoglobin A1C level is more than a 10 and you're not the very, like, motivated patient, willing to change your diet and this and that, we will put them on meds because the side effects and the complications of uncontrolled diabetes is very severe. And I don't think a lot of our people know that.
No, no, they definitely don't. I actually had to do it's a brother that's a member here. I had to do a case study. We study diabetes heavily to get our dental hygiene license. Most of the questions on the board exam consist of that and understanding that because of the cofactors of what goes on there and with the diabetes. And there's so much misinformation about that out there. I can't agree with you enough. So I had to do like a case study, and this particular brother allowed me to do it with him. And, you know, I did it more from the clinical dental hygiene perspective, but I had to understand the overall aspect of how it works and how it functions to then recommend a proper treatment plan and everything for him, you know, so that we can resolve his periodontitis so that it doesn't exacerbate his diabetes even more. So it's probably, I think, probably one of the ones that people are the most miseducated about. Explain to us the difference in type 1 and type 2. So we understand type 1, the pancreas doesn't function as it should.
Yeah.
Let's talk about type 2, which a lot of people are popping up with that.
Yeah.
Right.
So type 2 is what we call the lifestyle diabetes.
Yep.
It's purely a lifestyle issue. The things that you are eating, what you are drinking or what you're not drinking, your sleep, your stress, exercise, all of that can cause or contribute to type 2 diabetes. But 80% is a diet. 80% is what people are eating. And so some of the complications of diabetes, blindness. And I have seen that. I saw a lot of that in Mexico, actually. My school has a lot of hospitals in Mexico that we go every month to go help and volunteer. And I've been a couple of times, and a lot of, mostly the sisters, blindness from diabetes. You know, neuropathy, which is when, like, the nerve functioning in your feet and your arms are impaired. I've seen that. I've seen people getting their legs cut off from diabetes.
Yeah, amputations from that. Gosh.
Yeah. Parkinson's disease and dementia. Now they're calling Alzheimer's dementia diabetes of the brain.
Wow.
That's what all, you know, Alzheimer's is. And I know, like, when we're younger and we think of Alzheimer's, we're like, oh, that's for old people. But the physiological process of Alzheimer's forming starts in the 30s and in the 40s. By the time you get, that's why it's a chronic neurodegenerative. Once you are diagnosed, yeah, there's things that you can do to slow down the process, but that's it. So in your 30s and your 40s is when it kind of starts. And now we've seen people in we're diagnosing people in their 40s with Alzheimer's. You get an MRI of the brain and you see the plaques. And it's not as severe, and it's not a lot, but it starts to form.
Yeah, and it's going to progress to that. That's why I say it's degenerative. It's going to continue to go on to that.
Yeah.
Gosh.
And diabetes is number one. And all of the patients that we've diagnosed with Alzheimer's, they have some underlying, like, blood sugar dysregulation issue. So when we say diabetes, our people think it's just, oh, you know, I have a sugar issue. No, you have something that could potentially kill you, or even worse, make the quality of your life so, like, not enjoyable that you wish you were dead, which a lot of people say that.
So expound a little more when you say it's kind of what you're eating, also how you're eating, I would imagine, as well, right? Because I think there's a lot of miseducation about the type 2, right? Because I think type 1, for the most part, seems simple enough, right? Your pancreas isn't working right, so you're not producing the, I think it's the Leydig cells, right, the pancreas produces, right, to do the insulin. Type 2, what is going on inside that you can't process the carbohydrate? What's happening?
Very good question. So most people think type 2 diabetes is your body not making insulin, right? Because type 1 and type 2 are completely different.
Right.
Type 1 is you don't have the insulin at all. Type 2 is you have a lot of the insulin, but the signals that it takes for your legs and your muscles and your brain and all your body organs to pick up this glucose is not working because there's simply too much sugar.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you are when you're dealing with a patient with diabetes, you don't just check, you know, fasting glucose or hemoglobin A1C. You also check the serum insulin. Because insulin is also a very inflammatory hormone, which most people don't know. That's the reason why when you have a lot of sugar in you, right, your body is secreting more insulin. Because as far as it's concerned, there's a lot of sugar here. There's a lot of glucose here by your cells. Have way too much sugar, so they're not going to pick up any more of the sugar, so you just have high levels of sugar circulating in your bloodstream.
Gosh. And that creates an inflammatory response.
Head to toe. Head to toe. From the eyes to the brain to the legs to the heart to the kidney to, you know, the head to toe.
And just to be clear, and correct me if I'm off on this, I'm trying to say it in the plainest way possible. Chronic inflammation in the body like that is what's detrimental, because inflammation has its purposes, right? As far as
acutely.
A immune response, right? So acutely, it's okay, because people hear inflammatory response and they'll kind of put everything into one basket.
Yeah.
It's that constant state of it or it happening so frequently that creates all these issues in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right.
Absolutely.
Okay, so diabetes and diet driven. So you know, we spoke about diets. You mentioned that a little bit. Anything else on diabetes before we just talk about the autoimmune stuff that you'd like to make sure that we point out?
I think that we can group all of the ways you can treat in under one basket.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
But I just want to say there's a time and a place for conventional medication.
Yes.
And diabetes and heart disease are one of the two areas that when you are dealing with patients with these diseases, there's no compromise. I'm sorry. If your blood pressure is freaking 2-something over 100 or something, I am going to prescribe blood pressure medication.
Something.
Bring that numbers down. And then we can work on your diet. And then we can work on, you know, like appropriately weaning you off those medications.
Yeah. I tell you, I always reference it whenever we speak about health because it was funny. I remember because we were sitting in my living room in my house when I was living in the Bronx. And Deacon Ithan had something going on. And long story short, we're talking about the medicine and so on and so forth. And I got into a little debate there with some of the deacons and the bishop. And we were saying one of them was saying, you know, don't take the medicine at all. And I was saying, look, take the medicine, right? And when you get it under control, then go to the herbs and stuff like that to regulate it. That way you're not chronically on the medicine for the rest of your life. Because I had to take some pharmacology as well. Every medicine has a side effect. You cannot take a medicine without, you know, something as simple as ibuprofen makes your stomach bleed, right? Like every time you take it, there's a little bit of bleeding that happens from it. So what people don't realize, right, from a pharmacological perspective, every medicine does have a side effect. But the way they weigh it out is the benefit better than the side effect? And can you manage the side effect? And you don't want to put yourself in a situation where you're on those medicines long term if you don't have to. So I like the approach that you're kind of speaking about, and we didn't know that it was an actual that there was any type of medical professionals that would go that route, because like I said, you know, if you go conventional medicine, they trust so much in that they're only going to go with that. But you kind of recommend a more moderate, right? You're not on the extreme end on either, right? And it's like, hey, listen, medicine has its place. Your blood pressure's through the roof over 200. You have to take something. Your insulin, your A1C, your glucose serum is through the roof. There's some things you got to take to bring that down before we can start talking about these natural type of remedies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Absolutely.
I wanted to bring out a scripture.
Yeah. Go right ahead.
Going into this, debilitating chronic diseases.
Mm-hmm.
The book of Sirach, chapter 30, verse 17.
I will read it for you.
Yes, sir.
Sirach 30, verse 17 is better than a bitter life or continual sickness.
Because, I mean, Alzheimer's basically eats away at your brain over time. And what happens is you're no longer the person that you used to be. You like transform into this totally different person that obviously you don't recognize and other people don't recognize either. The Bible is telling you that it's better to be dead than walking around literally like a zombie because you've lost all your functioning.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes for any debilitating disease. That's all I got.
Go ahead. Let's move on to the autoimmune disease. I'm sorry. I'm trying to send these guys a message out here outside. Go ahead. Let's talk about the autoimmune disease.
So autoimmune diseases in the last 10 years have become more prevalent than ever. And what it is pretty much your own body attacking itself. Your body's immune system somehow doesn't have the signaling that differentiates your cells from harmful cells. So it starts attacking itself. And there's so many types of autoimmune diseases. There's Graves' disease, there's Hashimoto's, there's lupus, there's scleroderma, there's sarcoidosis, there's rheumatoid arthritis, and the list goes on and on and on. And now more than ever, lots and lots and lots of people are having autoimmune diseases. And a lot of the research is telling us there could be some kind of environmental factors that have a huge association with this. We know that most of it is also the diet. Most of it is what we are eating. You know, there's more processed foods in our diet more than ever. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I don't have a problem with meat. I have a problem with processed meat.
Right, and just the whole factory farming and how it's done.
Yeah, there's no nutrients in it. It's just a lot of like chemicals that you can't even pronounce.
Because they're trying to get them fattened up and ready for slaughter in a much faster way, so to turn around on that. So it's not that meat itself is necessarily inherently bad, right? As long as you're putting moderation and space and like what percentage of your diet that is,
right,
so on and so forth. But especially when it comes to how it's processed and fulfilled here. I think I was telling you on one of the episodes how I always wonder, like, gosh, where do they keep all these chickens and all these cows for all the burgers they serve in a day and for all the, you know, so it got to look like there's I mean, I'm sure that, you know, there's a lot of land, especially out this way, but it's the whole process where they rush through it to.
Now, I was on social media and there's a meme that said 90% of what's in your fridge didn't exist 100 years ago. And I was like, damn. I was like, that's actually a heavy point. I was like, that's very true. Like, really. Like, most of what we eat didn't even exist 50, 60, 100 years ago.
Yeah. I know. Stovetop stuffing.
Oh, yeah. The microwave pizzas and stuff. Yeah.
No, like, literally everything. Like,
I love stovetop stuffing. I used to just eat stovetop stuffing for lunch when I was there. You know, it was cheap.
With the gravy?
With the gravy on it.
I'll throw a little water on it, pop it in the micro, go back, watch my cartoons. That's it. Stovetop stuff. And anyway, so the autoimmune disease, so there's a lot of speculation and they're trying to really see why it's increasing so much. Why are we getting this?
Yeah.
Food, you would think, right? Because it's the one thing we do a lot. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot with the pollutants in the air as well, right? And what we're exposed to. I mean, even if you're someplace that's generally better air quality is probably always a factor, something we don't speak about.
The things that we clean with, you know, I took 6 months of environmental medicine classes.
Yeah.
And the whole time I was taking those classes, I was like freaking paranoid.
Yeah.
Like, you learn about all these like chemicals and how like they can get in your home and in your food. And, you know, you're like, oh my God, like, I'm not just going to leave this.
Have you ever seen the.
What about Fabuloso? Is that good? No?
I don't know if you maybe y'all not old enough. The Incredible Shrinking Woman.
Yeah.
It was like a movie from the 80s.
Dang.
I forgot the comedian's name. She died. She was very, if you saw her face, she was very popular, eating my comedian. Anyway, it was like satire on the rise of all these different chemicals.
Right.
And what happened was so her husband worked for like one of the major companies that made the toothpaste, the whatever it was, right? The soaps, the dish soaps, the detergents. And one day, I don't know, she was frustrated and she started throwing out all the stuff. And so when she mixed like the toothpaste, the this, whatever, she was throwing it down the drain, it made her start to shrink. So the whole movie was like this whole satire about how there was something in the chemical reaction from all the stuff that this company was making that individually was okay, but it was never considered that, okay, I'm using the toothpaste, I'm using the detergent, I'm using this, I'm using that. So by itself, it's stable, but now you have all this carryover from all the different products that we use, and how is that impacting? So it made her shrink, like she would shrink away.
Like, honey, I shrunk the kid.
I don't remember. Well, he was trying to actually make a device to do that.
Right.
So the point was, this was when you said that with the food and all the different chemicals and all the different stuff, it made me think of that movie that when I was a kid, I used to watch it. I don't remember if they resolved it. But I know she started, like, they noticed, like, her clothes were fitting. She was shrinking, and they were trying to figure it out. Yeah. And, of course, the company was like, hey, this is bad press. So first off, they started, like, they wanted to help her. But then as she was getting tinier and tinier, they were, like, distancing themselves from it. So it's funny. It's kind of what's going on today, right, mm-hmm. in this day and age. So.
Mm-hmm. No, it's so true. And I like what Captain Amara brought. Like, the foods that we have in our fridge now, is different from what we had, you know, mm-hmm. 100 years ago. And in the Hispanic population, right, burrito, tortillas is a huge part of their culture and has been for over 200 years,
yep.
right? And they've always stayed healthy and fit, and they don't have any issues with their weight. But now in the clinic, we having to tell patients, hey, you might not want to eat, you know, burritos, you know, every single day because of the carb content.
Mm-hmm.
But that got me to thinking, like, this is how they've been eating for 200 years,
yeah,
and they've
so
never
what's,
had
so what's
issues.
Going on,
so what is
else.
The quality?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is the corn, is the quality of the corn, is the quality of, like, different sources, and all the different things that they put in their food. And when they reduce how many or how much, like, burrito and tacos and whatnot they eat, they lose weight and the symptoms go away.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that it's not the burrito, because that's just what they've been eating, is the sources and the quality, and how much it's changed from 100 years ago.
I know.
Now.
I'm 100% yeah. guilty. I like tortillas with everything.
I ain't gonna front. I love tortillas.
I do. I'm like...
Hey, I was just watching
My wife's like, what do you want for dinner? Anything that has tortillas.
Straight up.
Like, I was just watching you know, like Facebook, they'll like put you on. There's a spot in San Diego we got to go to. There's this, like, old Issachar lady that she's been making, like, tortillas fresh.
Mm.
So it's something about the way she makes the masa, like, the flour
yeah,
and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
People come by, they'll just put a little butter and salsa in it. They don't even put meat in it. Like, and they'll have it with, like, coffee. Like,
yeah.
And she does them in flavor, strawberry char. But supposedly, she's, like, it's, like, a real famous little spot. And she, like, has a little section in the front of the restaurant, and she makes the tortillas from scratch. Damn, I want to go over there and try that.
Jeez.
Like, they show you, and, like, so she don't got, like, it's just basic ingredient, like the water, whatever, but there's a way that she mixes it and cooks it that people are, like, I think she's been doing it for 23 years over there or something like that.
Oh, so she got that thing perfect.
Oh, yeah, mm. yeah. She got her process mm. down. But, right, but excess, right?
Excess.
Right? Like, you could surf it on anything, really. Like, I've always said it's harder to surf it on vegetables and fruit because of the fiber content, right?
Yeah.
You'll get full, right? It's more nutrient dense. You start, and, you know, it's just bulkier, denser, so you get full. But you could, right? Like, you certainly can on a bunch of tortillas if that's all you slamming all day, right?
Hey.
You just beat it before you know it. You're like, what did I do?
Yep.
It's all gone.
It's all gone. So, and then, you know, I've also seen, they said, it's also the way our activity is different now. You know, we were once agricultural, right? Even industrial, and less so now because most of things are more automated. We move less. We're not out all day. Our jobs are not as laborious and, you know, desk jobs and things like that. And, you know,
PlayStations and Xbox.
Yeah. Computers and internet mm-hmm. and then your phone, and you're kind of just there. So you're not even moving as much anymore to create the calorie deficit to process some of this. So we're also consuming more without even realizing it.
Yeah.
And then, like, when you were talking about the hunt with the leptin and the ghrelin
mm-hmm.
and all of that, and just, you know, people, I think, sometimes think, well, my appetite is being driven by something other than activity. And it is, like, there's hormonal things that make you eat in excess of what, you know, you probably should. You know, the scripture tells you a little is sufficient for a man well nourished, right? And the reason you get those cravings is because you don't have the right balance. You don't have the, I mean, not all the time, I'm sure once in a while you want to try something sweet, but when it's, if that's the only thing that satisfies you, then it's problematic, right? So it's like, come on, like, you know, we got to get to a point where there's balance, I think. And I think that's the main thing, because you don't want to do the extremes, like when we spoke about the diet, right? Because then they're not sustainable,
right?
Right? And then you're back to square one,
right?
Right? So we got to get ourselves to a place where I like to say we're not so much that we diet, but we just change our lifestyle to the point where we create a different way that we eat in general, right?
Mm-hmm.
Versus let me do this. We have this cyclical thing of, okay, let me get aggressive for 3 months, 4 months, and then this is why you yo-yo, right?
Yeah.
And they say you go up and down because you've not found a sustainable way
mm-hmm.
to get nutrients into yourself, right? Remember, you're not really supposed to eat for enjoyment.
Yeah.
right? You're supposed to eat for sustenance.
That's true.
Right? But, you know, business, marketing, right? Hey, we want them to buy this. We want them, you know, if they come and they eat, you know, at my drive-through three times a day because it's so good, then that's great for business. Right. The hell with your health, right, and what we're doing to the country. But and it just creates this perfect thing here.
Cycle, right?
I don't know that they'll ever be able to pinpoint the autoimmune stuff.
I don't know if we'll ever be able to pinpoint what causes it because it's so multi.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things that contribute to it. But one of the things that I see, which is also an autoimmune disease, but it's directly correlated with a lot of the other autoimmune diseases, is celiac or gluten sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the most...
Every time you say that, I remember I got to go back for my follow-up blood test to reconfirm my diagnosis.
Yeah.
Put it off.
You know, I was looking for appointments the other day, and then calls came in and stuff started happening, so I forgot. So I neglected myself. I literally had it up. I was trying to find an appointment slot. But go ahead. So celiac, things like that.
Yeah, celiac. So one of the most miraculous, there's been multiple, like miraculous changes in like a patient's autoimmune disease status is from just taking gluten out of their diet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some patients are like, oh, I've seen 4 different doctors and nobody ever brought this up. We like you hear the CS because everything else you're doing is not working.
Mm-hmm.
Just take gluten out of your diet for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come back, they're like, oh my gosh, like I feel great, all my symptoms have gone away. We test their autoimmune antibody levels and it's all going down. So I don't know if the problem is the gluten because we've been eating bread and pasta and whatnot for years and it's never been a problem.
Catching up to us.
It could be catching up to us, or it could also be the quality. Like we don't make bread like we used to make it, anymore. Like everything is like instant yeast, instant rice. Like the gluten doesn't get to break down to the point where your gut, your digestive enzymes can take over and you know like go ahead and try to break it down. So there's a huge correlation between celiac disease and other autoimmune diseases. And I'm very, very happy now that the conventional medical system are also picking up on that. When we have a few MDs come take some classes in our school, that's one of the things that they always take. And we get like emails and phone calls. They're like, oh my gosh, like all my autoimmune disease patients are doing so much better. Like we took gluten off their diet and this and that. And we're like, it's really not rocket science. You know, there's so much research out there. Just read the research and go along with it. It's not always just the drugs and pills and this and that.
Right. And I think what's interesting about celiac is that because there are no drugs and pills, and though they're trying, I saw the vaccine trials. It wasn't really vaccine, but it was a vaccine like thing that they were working on. They failed. Like it looked promising, and then it wasn't, so they stopped it. Something that was gonna make your body not attack itself when you ingested the wheat. I think it's one of the few. That the only thing you can do is change your diet. So there isn't a pill option, right? Because like anything else with us, we want immediate gratification. We want immediate results, right? And that's why people want weight loss pills or they want a tip when they don't realize the tried and true method, right? That, you know, exercise, right? And eat less than what you burn, right? And you'll get yourself to a point where, right? But they don't want to hear that. They want what's the quick fix. That's why they like, you know, things like the low carb or the keto because they drop the 10 pounds of water weight in two weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not fat, you know? I mean, fat doesn't burn and metabolize that quickly.
Yeah.
So, you know, so they get the immediate satisfaction of seeing the scale drop. They lose some water weight and then they think it's all right. And then they get frustrated when it starts to, because weight loss is not linear either. Like, you know, it's
when they plateau
valleys. Yeah. So it's just creates this whole perfect storm. But I find that what you said is interesting because celiac is the one where there is no pill they can give you. So the only thing you can do is modify your diet to see the change.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, that reminds me, I used to work in the post office in Italy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had a coworker that had,
excuse us.
Ciao, man.
She had stomach surgery. She got a stomach like cut in half or something, so she could lose weight. You know, got the new.
Yeah, they were
implants and all of that.
Now they got the band, so you don't got to get so severe.
Right.
They used to like fold the stomach and staple it.
Man, there's right. a lot of issues with the band.
Yeah.
But the issue was
the band's supposed to be better because you can take the band off.
Okay.
Supposedly, but it's invasive. Like anything invasive, right? Like you know, you figure that's gonna happen. But go ahead, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Right.
So she got the stomach
and
done.
Then she had to go get the skin surgery, right?
Yeah.
All the saggy skin.
All the saggy skin. She got the breast implants, right? And she lost all this weight, but within like a year, she was fatter than she was
in the beginning.
Gosh.
Wow.
Straight up.
Short-term fixes. Yeah. They don't. Yep. Right. This is why you got to change your lifestyle. That's really the only
mindset.
Way. And your mindset.
I think if there's one thing I can tell anybody, you have to change your mindset. You have to change the way you look at food.
It's very much like the truth, though, if you
Absolutely.
Think about that. You're only going to endure in this walk with repentance. I was talking with Captain Hananiah, and, you know, we were talking about how what we have to do for repentance is actually really easy. If you think about it, simple, not easy. Let's just say it's very simple.
It's the simplicity in Christ,
right?
Right.
Right. And I was telling him how I did the class on Christ, how Christ was saying, "My yoke is easy and my burden light."
Mm-hmm.
What makes it hard is that the world is so against all that, right? Mm-hmm. So you're seen as rebellious and against it. But to keep the commandments and the faith of Christ as an Israelite, it's simple. You do that, you're going to get salvation. What makes it hard is that the whole world is set up against that.
Right.
It makes it harder to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think in some ways, right, I see parallels with that because it takes a paradigm shift in order mm-hmm. for you to mm-hmm. to change that.
Yeah.
So the same thing with the health. Like it takes a paradigm shift for you to take hold and take charge of that and make those
yeah.
changes, because a lot of us just kind of want the results right away. No, just heal me quick, just fix me
right.
quick. And this is why they'll go the surgery route
mm-hmm.
or something
yeah.
like that, or pill
yeah.
or medicine that does it,
yeah.
you know. So
yeah. And it's funny, like it took you years to get to where you are. You don't expect all your problems to go away in a
yeah.
week
right.
or in a month.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
There's honestly no magic pill. If there was, there wouldn't be so many
yeah.
diseases
mm-hmm.
and people wouldn't be like fatter and sicker.
Yeah. Or then sustainability,
right?
Right? Because
yeah.
You know, like especially with type 2 diabetics, just going back to that briefly, you can get it diet controlled. But if you fall off the wagon again, guess what? Like, so it's never like you're really, it's gone. It's never like it's really gone. It's just
yeah.
managed is what they say. Right. So,
mm-hmm.
If you stop managing it, guess what happens? You rebound. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it might even come back worse or
yeah.
stronger. Right. So, it's, I'm glad that you said that, because it's a lot to do with up here more than, you know, and that translates to
right.
obviously,
right.
you know, you got to get the mind right first, then do the behaviors, and then you'll have the results.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So,
yeah.
so let's talk about healing naturally. Right.
Yeah.
You have tips for living a healthy, I know a lot of people, because speaking of all that, this is what people want.
Right.
Dun, dun, dun.
This is where we're headed with that. I know we have a few scriptures highlighted here. Let's go through those real quick. So we got Sirach 31:19, and you can break you wrote them, right? So you can break them down, officer. You wanted to talk about this. Sirach 31:19.
The book of Sirach, chapter 31:19. A very little is sufficient for a man well nurtured.
Right. So this is talking about eating in moderation,
mm-hmm.
Not surfeiting over your food.
Right.
Go ahead.
And he fetcheth not his wind short upon his bed.
Right. So this was going into the sleep apnea that we discussed last
mm-hmm.
week. It's crazy how the food that you eat actually can affect you even while you're sleeping.
Hey, man, I had a heartburn episode a few weeks back that it was all up in the throat. I woke up choking. I felt like, you know, like it feels like vomit. Right. And
yep.
it was, you know, and my wife jumped up and she was like, "What's going on?" And I'm like,
yeah,
I'm drinking water. I'm like, "Yo, I can't talk to you yet." She's following me to the bathroom. I'm like, because I thought I was going to throw up. And then I said, "Damn, I've never had it that bad." I said, because the quarantine got me jacked up from my routine. So
yeah.
I said, I got to. Yeah, I said, "Damn." I said, I got to get back on the train, because I haven't been as, you know, kind of just, let me try a little this, let me try a little that, right? That's why I put on the 10-pound quarantine.
Quarantine 10.
I put on the quarantine 10.
And so the first 10.
You know, I have a little pillow that I can use that
okay.
Positions you for that. It's So I've been sleeping with that again, because it was like, it was scary. Like
yeah.
I woke up and it was on, and it, my throat was on fire.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
all that stomach acid came up, and I was like, dang, man.
Hey, let me just say, I am fantastic at treating heartburn.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You might have to hook me up. You might have to hook me up.
Look, the producers over there, like me too.
Yeah, you might have to hook me up. I mean, it's not very chronic as far as a constant thing, but you know, and there's a lot of things like if I'm under undue stress or whatever. Yeah, but certainly types of foods will aggravate it, or I notice if I wait too long between meals, and then when I do eat, it could be whatever. It'll act up, or it'll act up before the meal. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And
so
herbs and things that code the esophagus to help bring that irritation.
Yeah, so we're gonna need a plan from you. All right. All right. So let's read Sirach 37:31.
The book of Sirach, chapter 37 and verse 31. By surfeiting have many perished, but he that taketh heed prolongeth his life.
Hey, and I like that, right? Because it's not saying just surfeiting of meats. You can surfeit on anything, right? You can surfeit on grains. You can surfeit on carbs, right? Like, you know, because, again, like going back to the vegan thing and you having undiagnosed celiacs, you'll start eating a bunch of grains and be like, I threw the meat away and, you know, whatever. When meanwhile, you're reacting to, you know, the gluten and these different things. So moderation. That's surfeiting. The opposite of that is moderation, right? So, you know, you don't need to keep eating, right? Sometimes you got to give your body time to realize that, to send the hormone signals and everything, right? Hey, you're full.
Right.
And let's stop. Right. Like last night I was pretty hungry and I was like, damn, I was like, I feel like I want to eat some. My wife was like, just wait 20 minutes. Can you just wait and see? So maybe you don't need to eat more, you know?
All praises, sis.
Just wait. I said, you know, if you make me tasty vegetables. No, let me the other day she tried. She said, you know, I'm just gonna make a little bit of pasta, or whatever. I said, okay, it's cool. I like pasta. And then she brings out the broccoli. She said, look, broccoli. Well, she tried to like name it something fancy. So it was still steamed broccoli, but she threw a little red onions on it with a little whatever. So, and I was like, okay, all right, I'll give you points for trying. You know, isn't exactly what I was talking about, but you know, I know she was tired. You know. And then we have 1 Timothy 4:8. Let's read that, and then I want the sister to go through some of these nutrition tips. Yeah, I got the crispy one. I mean, I still keep the other one because I want to transfer all the notes and highlights. But yeah, I got the I had to make the change, but the other one's falling apart.
The book of 1 Timothy 4:8. For bodily exercise profiteth little.
So it's telling you exercise is good. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not something that you need to be obsessing over, but right, it does profit.
You hear that, Officer Ezekiel?
That brother's slow.
You won already, all right? You won. You're Mr. Olympia until the kingdom comes, all right?
Yeah, it's saying it profits a little. Right. So it's good for you to exercise.
Yeah. And you know what's heavy about that? Because most people in like fitness circles will tell you, exercise is probably maybe 20% of the effort you're going to put into your results.
Right.
It's the kitchen, mm-hmm, right? And, you know, they'll throw that. I'm sure it's arbitrary, but they throw that number so that you can kind of see how important the eating and lifestyle change is. They say 80% of your results is going to be based on your eating and how your diet is set up.
You know, I see on Facebook, you know, brothers and sisters are now starting to exercise more,
mm-hmm,
but they're doing the exercise, right? So they burn off a little calories, but then they go back in the kitchen and, you know, it's the Taco Tuesdays.
Yeah,
and this and that.
No, and then again, the mind change that we're talking about. Because what'll happen is, man, I burned this many calories today. I've been working hard. I deserve this row of Oreos.
Man, right?
Not two, not a serving.
A serving
is two or three. Yeah. Let me not keep myself content with a little where I'll indulge in two or three. I'm going to eat the row, right?
Because I earned it.
Hey, we had a brother that was with us, right? And you know, he would leave the gym and then be at In-N-Out and be like, "Yeah, man, you know, I got my calories here." And,
like no joke. Like he would leave or he'd go to like Philly B's, whatever, and get like a burrito and be like, "See, look, I got the carne asada, so I got the protein. I got my dairy with the cheese." I'm like, this dude is like serious.
No, but then the burrito was like the size of like your head or something. Not that you got a big head, but I'm just saying,
right,
you know,
it was pretty big.
Yeah, your head's actually proportioned well, but
the VA's all big though.
But But yeah, and they'll go out. Because actually, tacos by themselves, like real taco, that's actually not pretty bad. You got a corn tortilla. You got a decent portion of meat.
Yeah.
Some onions and cilantro, right?
But
and
a not, a tomahawk, not right. a tomahawk steak, though.
Man, we ate the whole... We almost I couldn't finish it. We ate almost the whole thing. Remember when we?
There was
one,
I remember vividly.
Oh, no, that was surfeiting.
Oh my God!
No doubt.
There was one person that finished it, but he would not be named.
No. he didn't finish it because the one that shall not be named finished it out of variance because he wanted to win. And the brother was like in the back. He was vomiting. He was pooping. I mean, yeah, it was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous. Yeah.
So it was too much. But right. So too much. You know, all that creates a bad response. You get that lethargic feeling and stuff like that. But the exercise is important. But you can't. Most of it's going to be your diet. You can actually lose the weight without even getting crazy with the exercise, just for the diet adjustments.
That's
you know,
true.
The exercise is nice though because it allows you to then maybe have a little more calories if you're into that sort of stuff. So, but we got to get out of that. A diet to me just has a negative connotation.
And
we associate diet with the types of diets.
Yeah.
Versus an overall way to change the way you eat.
Lifestyle. Yeah.
Right, a lifestyle change. And that's really what's going to elicit the long-term stuff. So nutrition, tips for eating healthy, because this is what people want, because most people don't want to invest in weighing and measuring the food.
Which I don't want you to. Yeah, that is upset. Like, you taking all the fun out of this.
It can be. I'll tell you, because when I get on it, when I'm trying to be disciplined, I do. I weigh and I monitor and I track, right? But I do that because I like to have, you know, maybe a little bigger portion size or whatever. So for me, I can do it, but it can be problematic because then you get obsessive about,
right?
Because I think just it's our nature to try to be, we get obsessive with things.
Yeah. And I found
myself, I'm like, gosh, I'm just, you know, I can't eat that because I there's no way for me to measure it, you know, rather than try to be practical about how you do it.
And at least for you, like, you have an understanding of what, like, nutrition is, right? You have an understanding of, like, health and wellness. Most people don't. They just, like, see somebody else is, like, counting calories.
Yeah.
They watch a few YouTube videos. Oh, I'm going to start counting calories. And it becomes obsessive, and then people start getting depressed over food. And then you go into, like, a lot of, like,
create a bad relationship
like eating
with food.
Disorders and nutrient deficiencies. Yeah. And it's, like, a bad cycle. So the first thing you should do is your mindset.
Yeah.
Like, you have to decide that you want to be healthy. Like,
no, they weren't expecting to hear that, sis.
Oh. I'm sorry.
They didn't hear my set. When they see tips for healthy eating, they wanted to know which food to eliminate and which
Where's
food
the
to
pill
put
is?
In there.
Right.
Yeah.
It's honestly not that
What
easy.
Herb or pill?
It's not as easy as going from double stuffed Oreos to regular Oreos.
No,
right?
For real. That's a whole transition.
They got the Oreo thins now. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
So mindset,
no, mindset, you have to decide that you want to be healthy, right? You have to decide that you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you have to realize why you are doing this. Most sisters do this for vain reasons. Oh, I want to be skinny so I can fit in that outfit. I want to be skinny so I can be, I want to look fit. So it's just completely for vain reasons. And then you have that up, down.
Mm-hmm.
The most effective exercise that I recommend for patients, just freaking walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless you want to like,
yeah, you were talking
be
about
like,
that. Walking
be
very
like,
effective.
Yeah, unless you want to be muscular and you have the particular goal, then lift weight and do all the other things. But just walking, there's no need to get like obsessive with it. If your goal is just to have a healthy life, just walk. Just walk, or like just find something that works for you. If you enjoy dancing, there's a lot of YouTube videos now. Just make a goal for yourself. Maybe 3 days a week, I'm gonna dance for 20 minutes, and just stick to it. Don't get this, you know, disrupted by what this person is doing and that person is doing. Just decide that this is what I want for myself, and why you want this for yourself. I want to live longer for my children. I want to be happier. Like, I want to be 60, 70 and be able to, like, you know, walk around with my grandkids, which are all like substantial, sustainable reasons for you to want to change your diet.
Right.
Not, I want to be skinny. I want to fit in that dress. Oh, I want to like look like that sister.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to get you anywhere. After you've worked on your mindset and you've got your spirit right, then whole foods. Just freaking eat whole foods. Just eat real food.
So can you elaborate on that? Because some people don't understand what
that
means. They're going to think you're telling them to go shop at Whole Foods. Right now, some people are like, sis, man, that's expensive. I don't know what type. You're about to be a doctor, so maybe you can shop at Whole Foods. I don't know what your husband do, but I got Habibi Market in my neighborhood. I don't know about what you're talking about.
I got the Winn-Dixie. Yeah, straight up. The Kroger. I used to eat at the Kroger.
They don't know what Whole Foods. They're like, damn, sis, Whole Foods, really?
Right.
Explain what you mean by Whole Foods.
What I mean by Whole Foods is foods that are not processed.
Right.
You can shop wherever you want to shop at. But make
And explain process too, because I think people are gonna get confused with that too, right?
Yeah.
So let's
foods that are not in cans,
mm-hmm.
in boxes,
mm-hmm.
in packets,
mm-hmm.
foods that are so easy that all you have to do is pop it in the microwave for 5 minutes and you have a meal,
right?
Not a nutritious meal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm
mm-hmm.
not saying that you should completely not eat bread or whatever, but make sure that 80-90% of the foods that you are eating are real foods and not processed.
Yeah.
So you can do your rice,
mm-hmm.
you can do beans, you can get the fruits,
mm-hmm.
veggies, nuts, seeds, grains, if you don't have any celiac or gluten issues. Just eat food,
mm-hmm.
and don't do a lot of the extra like if you buy a box of something from the store and it has a million ingredients that you can't even pronounce it, you know, you can literally just go on Google, look up some of those ingredients, and you see all the health effects that come
mm-hmm,
out of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's really no need for you to get obsessive over, oh, I'm going to count calories, I'm going to go on this diet, I'm going to do
mm-hmm.
this. If you eat real foods, your body's signal, it will tell you when you're full and when you should eat.
Yeah. It takes a while, though, I think, for some people to get that, what they call that, like intuitive eating, kind of, because...
mindful eating.
Yeah, like, you know, you kind of go based on feel and whatever, and some people are like, well, I feel like having a whole row of Oreos, sis. But I think it's easier if, like, you're doing the whole foods, which are more nourishing, they're more filling,
because your
body knows what it needs, right? So, like, I often say, like, even in subtle ways, what I go for first on the plate is probably what my body was needing, vitamin-wise or whatever. So sometimes I do go for the veggies first. I'm like, oh, my body might be missing some vitamins or minerals. Yeah. Sometimes I do go for the grains first. I'm like, okay, maybe I'm feeling low energy or whatever. You know, sometimes I attack because I always have a piece of protein in my food.
Sometimes you go for the steamed broccoli with the red onions.
Yeah. I go for steamed broccoli with the red onions sometimes. Or the spinach with my favorite is the sauteed spinach with garlic. That I like.
Mm.
So I like spinach. But, spinach be shrinking on you, man, when you heat that thing up, man.
I tell you,
how insulting. It's
like,
my gosh, I just paid $5 for this big bucket.
It is like,
right? And when you cook it, it's like you can put it in your hand. It's like, why you did that?
You're like this? You're like this? You're like...
All right, that was good. He said, I got a beef with spinach.
Spinach is one of my favorites, but that thing be disappearing on you. Like, damn it, spinach. But so focusing on less of that processed stuff.
Yeah.
Listen, so that Single Brothers, I know they got the little thing, and it's the seasoned meat, and all you got to do is poke the hole and throw it in there.
Yep.
Try to learn how to cook a little meat with some dry seasonings and stuff like that.
Right.
It could be
Banquet
really flavorful.
And, Hungry Man's.
Yeah, I mean... Hey, I'll throw a little something in there. What'll help you with dealing with meats that aren't with all these crazy type of seasonings, cook it to the proper temperature, and it won't be like chicken. You know, it don't got to be dry, right? It's because you overcooking it because you're freaking out.
Right.
Get a little food thermometer, check your safe temperatures for this stuff.
I agree.
That's what's helped me because, you know, I'm known for like the way I grill with the meat and stuff out here.
Oh,
so,
goodness.
You know,
it's
all right.
Right.
I'm known. I got to throw it out there because
Tabernacles.
Tabernacles.
Yeah.
Hey, don't front. Don't hate.
Quick.
Don't hate. Don't hate. You
bro,
wait.
I was vexed last night, just so you know. I was.
I did eat a pretty nice ribeye last night. With some white rice.
He goes, send me a picture. Like,
and it was just
really?
Salt, pepper, garlic. See, one of them all
SPG,
types of crazy flavors.
Salt, pepper, garlic.
That's
SPG.
It.
And that's the new song.
But what my point is, I got a lot better at cooking when you did the preparing to the proper temperature and stuff like that. Because I know the Single Brothers, because I was in that boat one time, and it's like, oh, this is already seasoned and whatever, and I just got to pop it in there.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's easy. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I know a lot of... brothers out here, their feast, the Single Brothers, every feast day is like Little Caesars or Domino's.
Yeah.
You know, YouTube University.
Yep, there it is.
A lot of recipes.
YTU.
That's it.
Yeah.
All day.
See, that's good use of it. Don't go out there for diabetes advice.
Right. If you want recipes.
For recipes, right? Don't tell them that. Cause...
Recipes. Disclaimer.
You
want
recipes,
YouTube University.
Uh-huh.
I also want to add real quickly, if you are somebody who craves certain things, it could be signs of nutrient deficiencies, right?
Yeah.
So if you crave chocolate or sugar or salt or like very specific unhealthy taste, It could be signs of nutrient deficiencies. It could also just be a sign that you just need to detox. So a few days of juice fasting or water mm-hmm. fasting or raw foods diet, you know, the weather is a little warm now, you can actually eat raw food.
Mm-hmm.
That will reset your taste buds mm-hmm. and you realize that fruit
actually
tastes
I was telling my wife
sweet.
In the car, I think like Monday, I'm only going to do like maybe two and a half days. I said, I think I'm going to bring the juicer down. And, you know, if you want to do it with me, I said, I think I'm going to do like just a couple days.
Mm-hmm.
Cause now that the gym's opening up for me,
yeah.
like, you know, that sets my day. I like to go right after I wake up. I like to go to the gym. It like just sets everything else up for me by doing it in the morning. Cause too much stuff happens later and then I don't get it in.
Right.
So I set my day with that. So I told her, I said, hey, before I get back, you know, on the eating and stuff, I said, you know, cause tomorrow for Pentecost, we're going to have some prime brisket. Some mac and cheese and
it's an Israelite party.
Yeah, we're doing.
He is known. He is known.
We will have some veggies. I am known.
There will be some shrunk spinach as well too.
But I told her, I said, hey, I said, you know, I think I want to do the because I'm gearing towards getting back to my routine now that you know we've opened up here. I said, you know, maybe we'll just do 2 days. Get the juice fast going. I said, and then break my way back into it. I think that's great because sometimes something like that, I do agree with that. It kind of resets your whole taste buds and your cravings mm-hmm. and everything like that. So you can kind of,
also the mind.
And it'll break you from that whole thing of, you know, if you've been eating poorly and stuff like that.
Right. That addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really is.
It really is. Those hyper palatable food. I tell you about the Cheetos puffs with me. Like I can't.
He said, that's his orange crack.
It is. It is. I'll be there like this. You fuck cat. Cap, what's going on? Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
It's all cake on his fingers.
Leave me alone. Don't put your fingers back in the bag. This is my bag. This is my bag. Let's talk about some herbs, right?
Yeah, so
appropriate use. You have interactions, combinations.
Yeah. Just like very briefly with the healthy eating too, mindful eating. You know, I'm not gonna go into it too much, but that's y'all's homework. Look into mindful and just like.
Don't be watching TV while you eat, right?
Yeah,
don't be watching videos and stuff.
Yeah.
I read and check messages while I eat.
And then next thing you know, the food is gone and you want more,
and then
right?
you feel like you didn't eat,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
you should probably just stop, pay attention.
Yeah, yep. So mm-hmm. there's a whole world out there of mindful eating. There's a couple of books that I can take pictures of and then maybe we can put it on, like how to eat mindfully. Also, intermittent fasting. I am the biggest fan of intermittent fasting.
I like
it's
it.
Not
I like it from a, what do they call it? I always say this word, when it says seichi. Satiating, yes. It's like, I like it from that perspective, especially when my calories are low, when I'm tracking mm-hmm. calories, because I'll kind of, for me, I'll like skip the breakfast. Mm-hmm. I like to work out on an empty stomach. I don't, you
that's
know, yeah, so I like diabetes, I like to do that on an empty stomach. And then I'll start with like lunch at like 12, mm-hmm. you know, or 11. And then, you know, I go 11 to 7 or 11 to 8 if I can or something mm-hmm. like that. I feel like it allows me to have like maybe bigger portions of my calories for the day. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it just sets me better.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like things going on in there when I'm working out.
Yeah, so. I'm a huge fan of it. And there's a lot of like health benefits to it. There is a right and a wrong way to do it.
Yeah.
And I made a video on my YouTube page about like intermittent fasting and how to do it right and who shouldn't
We'll post her page up again so you can check the videos and stuff that she has on there because that is a point, right?
Yeah.
There's some people that shouldn't do it.
A lot
of
people that shouldn't do it. So it's, you have to know yourself, who should and shouldn't do it and how you can do it and what some of the different ways of doing it with. And then very quickly, too, stress management. You know, the scriptures tell us, let go of, you know, a lot of the grudges and the hatred and the vainness, you know, about life. And just like if you have a very stressful life, it will be very, very difficult and impossible to live a healthy life.
Yeah.
Because you are always driven by that stress and you are always driven by something outside. And no amount of herbs or supplements or anything is going to make you lose weight or going to heal you if you don't restore some kind of balance in your life, you know. And this is something that no pill can, you know, or no drug can restore for you. That's why I started with the mindset. You have to decide that this is what I want to do. And you have to be willing to make changes in your life to kind of make that an easier and sustainable thing for you.
Yeah. So herbs, you want to talk about making sure that we have appropriate use, interactions, combinations.
Mm-hmm. I could go on and on and on about herbs and stop me. I know we ran out of time.
No, we'll go. I mean, I'm trying to, we could go like maybe another 10 minutes to get those pointers in and stuff like that. And then if you're able to, anything that we don't get to finish, if you want to do just a few blurbs on it, and we'll post it up online and stuff like that for everybody. So that'd be good.
We'll do that. So I took 3 years of botanical medicine classes as part of the program that I'm doing. And I also took classes on how drugs and herbs, you know, mix and interactions, and which classes of drugs and which species of herbs that you shouldn't use together. I also did a 6-month herbal medicine intensive up in Sedona, where you actually learn like how to make the medicines and extract them properly. And
oh, so something pops off, man. You know, we could link up. We're gonna need her for when we go up to Sedona.
Yep.
You know, to
we can meet up
to wait on the Lord.
17.
Yeah, we go to Sedona to wait on the Lord, and she can help us with the medicines and stuff as we live out
there.
Yeah,
we will. Yeah.
I would assume you're going to be there too,
all right?
Goodness.
Okay, sorry.
I know you got them sniper skills. So.
Sorry, I'll break.
And I also grew up in Ghana, whereby the main way that we healed ourselves was herbs. You know, I was telling my husband, like, in a year, I get malaria, like, in 1 or 2 times. People think of malaria, and they're like, oh, my gosh, malaria in Ghana.
Something you guys just deal with, right?
Because we have herbs, and my parents and all the people in the community, they understand how to use these herbs appropriately. What I'm seeing on Facebook now from our brothers and sisters about take this herb for the people who have no education in herbal medicine, right? They don't understand how these meds and these drugs combine. You can't. That's why I don't post about take this herb on my Facebook. First of all, I can get my license taken away from me because I'm a physician. I can't just say take this for that. But you have the lay person looking stuff up and saying, take elderberry, take echinacea, take this, or mix these things together. You can kill people with these herbs if you don't know how to use it properly.
Yeah, and I think I made a point, I don't know if it was on the first show or whatever, but if you believe the herbs are that potent to help you, and they are, then you also have to believe that that potency, like we said, toxicity is in the dose, right? Mm-hmm. How much of it that you take. Mm-hmm. It can also be harmful to you if not applied properly, if not handled properly, right?
Yeah.
So I can't stress that enough. Don't try to become – don't use YouTube University for that, right?
Recipes.
Because you're not going to know, like, the effect. Hey, you might be on a prescribed conventional medication, and the herb can impact that and affect you. And, you know, I mean, you can die. You can literally die.
A prime example.
Or shrink, like incredible shrinking
moment. Turmeric, right?
Yeah.
Turmeric is...
I remember my wife was saying, you were saying to be careful with the turmeric.
I call turmeric, like, a proof that God still loves us. Mm-hmm. Like, turmeric is anti-inflammatory, anti-cancer, immune boosting. It helps you lose weight because it speeds up your body's metabolism. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of health benefits, and we recommend turmeric for patients that need it.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? Turmeric, curcumin, is a blood thinner, right?
Mm. Wow.
So if you're on blood thinning medications, you know, which we have some patients that are on blood thinning medications that we feel could also benefit from curcumin. We either lower their dose or we test their panel regularly to see if their blood is getting too thin, because you could bleed out and die.
Wow.
Two, if you have certain like health issues, certain autoimmune diseases, you don't want your blood too thin because you could bleed out and die. So I see a lot of people saying, oh, take curcumin for this, take curcumin for that. You don't know that person's medical history. You don't know their health history. You know, it's one completely different thing if you have some kind of education, like in herbal medicine and how to use these medications.
Mm-hmm.
But curcumin is a miracle on earth. But there's a right way to use it and there's a wrong way to use it. Another thing with curcumin, the only way your body can absorb the medicinal properties in curcumin is if you take it with black pepper. Now, there are some other things that are made in labs to help your body absorb it.
Yeah, I've seen that. They have a patented for, I think it's called Bioparin.
Bioparin.
And you'll see a lot of the supplements that they'll throw that in there because it helps with absorption.
But a lot of the supplements don't have that either. Yeah. And people are saying, oh, cut up curcumin with ginger and garlic. And you're not absorbing anything from the you're just wasting good curcumin.
And it's fat soluble, right? So you have to have it with fat.
And heat. Mm-hmm. So if you're making like a a great cumin mixture is you have turmeric powder, some kind of fatty milk like coconut milk, mm-hmm. A little bit of black pepper, and you heat it up. Mm-hmm. They call it golden milk. Yeah. That is just like slam dunk. You're gonna absorb all the.
See, that's too much for me. There's a pill I take.
Right.
It comes in a vegetarian type of encapsulation with a black pepper and the oil in it, and I try to take it with my fish oil too. Mm-hmm. So and then with meals.
Yeah.
With meals. So I figure I'd do it that way.
Yeah.
Because I ain't gonna sit there and start.
Hey, no. But,
yeah.
No.
Grind.
It makes for great tea.
You know how my phone will be ringing while that's happening.
She says a slam dunk.
Good.
So there's a lot of principles, and I don't know if I was telling you or my parents or somebody before I started school, I was the same way. Oh, take this herb for this. Or I'm gonna read this. And the more as I went through my botanical medicine classes and actually like using these herbs in the clinic, I was like, oh my God, mm-hmm. like I need to apologize to all those people I told to go take, you know, elderberry or this and that, but it just doesn't work that way. And a lot of the pharmaceutical drugs that we take were extracted from these herbs.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that out because a lot of people don't realize that.
Medications from these
they concentrate them.
They concentrate,
and then of course sometimes they'll put some other proprietary things in there for their delivery or whatever. But but a lot of them are so I find it kind of funny when they say natural because technically some of like penicillin. Yeah. Technically, it's natural, right? Like, you know,
insulin is natural.
Right. So they've just figured, you know, I mean, there are synthetic things, and you know, or it makes me laugh when people say chemicals. I mean, I know what they mean when they say that, but we're chemicals too. Like, we're chemically made up. Water's a chemical, right? Like, technically. But I know what they mean when they say that, but it makes me laugh because they're like, oh, the chemicals. And I'm like, you know, H2O, that's chemical.
It is.
You know, this makeup. But a lot of people don't realize that a lot of medicines, like they have taken them from the earth and they super concentrate them. Mm-hmm. And they find, you know, and then they go through their trials and all that stuff like that.
But in the clinic, we see a lot of patients who come to see us because they have side effects from some of the herbs and things that we're taking. And some of them we're like, oh, stop taking the supplement you're taking. They're like,
because they're getting a higher dose
too much
of the same thing, right?
And so even with like, you know, like your vitamins, like single vitamin B6 can cause severe neuropathy.
Wow. And that's scary. You don't want that. You don't want neuropathy. That's
so
like nerve issues.
You don't just
want
to Google and go through that.
Right.
Yeah, you don't want to just like go on Google and see what's there and go do whatever. Like you want to make sure that you are taking like herbal or like herb advice from somebody who knows what they're doing. Because if these, like you always say, if they are potent enough to heal you, they can also kill you if you don't do it properly.
I know that explicitly from the statins, how it's derived from the active ingredient in the red yeast rice extract, and they just isolate that active ingredient and pull it out, just like curcumin's the active component of the turmeric.
Right.
And they pull that out and they concentrate it, and so you got to be careful with dosage and things like that, so on and so forth. So. That's definitely like that's the thing that worried me the most, and I was like, hey, we gotta have Sister Safia on the show because I saw too many recipes are going out there and all types of stuff.
I had to step away for a second. And like some of the herbs and the things that people were combining just does not combine right. Like elderberry is very well studied for COVID, and we know that it works. It freaking works. But there's many parts of the elderberry plant, right? There's the flowers, which can be used for medicine. The leaves can be used for medicine. The root and the whole part. Depending on what part you are using, you either need to extract the medicinal constituent from alcohol or water. Or, you know, if you're using the root, you have to dry it first. A lot of the people online, our people selling immune boosting stuff, did not extract these constituent properly. Can just boil elderberry seeds in water and put it in honey in a bottle and sell it. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
That's like diabetes waiting to happen.
Yeah.
But that is what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm.
So it is very, very scary. And also echinacea.
Mm-hmm.
Echinacea is a potent immune boosting herb that you actually want to take when you are not sick, right? Like you don't want to take echinacea when you're sick. It's a little too late. When you feel yourself like about to get sick, that's when you take echinacea.
Right.
people with autoimmune diseases have no business taking echinacea. Because remember, autoimmune diseases is your body attacking its own self.
Mm-hmm.
Echinacea ranks up your body's immune system function, so it makes it worse.
Mm-hmm.
A few weeks ago, we had a patient that we had to take to the ER because she was freaking taking medical advice from somebody online because she was scared that she was going to get a COVID. She ended up in the ER because she has lupus. Mm. And echinacea spiked up her body's immune system function.
Right.
And her
especially
heart was just going like this.
Yeah.
So we have to be careful. Like if you don't have any kind of medical background or knowledge or something, I'm sorry. Like, you can look up stuff for yourself and your family, but don't put it out there and don't sell stuff to people. If you have no background in it, you can kill people. It's,
mm-hmm,
it's dangerous.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's low-key kind of selfish too, because you're just thinking about yourself and the money and whatnot.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
other people's lives are at stake. And this is a very vulnerable time for a lot of people. People want to like boost their
I mean, obviously people are, I'll say concerned is okay. Obviously we don't want people being scared, but it's prudent to be concerned. And, you know, you should be, and, you know, you're going to have issues with that sort of stuff. So real quick, let's just, because we do have to wrap up.
Yeah.
You spoke about that. Any quick, yeah, I see you said if time, COVID-19, any quick little tips for immune boosting? I know we're not going to give no recipes for no herbs, because we understand that that's more intricate than what it says.
Right.
So, you know, if you're waiting for some sort of little graphic with what to mix and whatever, you know, then that means you weren't listening to the sister and what she was saying. And there's a lot of other factors per the individual that not everybody can just take something like that.
But what you might think is seemingly harmless. Yeah, actually, there is one mixture called the anti-plague formula.
Oh, let's do it.
Which the doctor that back in January, we got a hint at our school that COVID was going to be a thing and we're preparing. That's when I reached out to you and I was like, look, this is what I'm hearing. And
And then we pushed out the little
COVID thing. Yeah, so this the doctor who told us about the anti-plague formula. And this is something you can look up, and there's so many variations of it now, and it's not quite what it was.
Yeah, because somebody that has a thing said, oh, I'm going to add this to it, or I'm going to add that.
Yeah.
So tell us, what is the official one?
So the anti-plague formula is a formula that was used in the 1918 flu epidemic and all the other major epidemics. And one researcher realized that the families or the group of people that were not dying or being affected from these epidemics were pretty much just taking the anti-plague. I don't know if it was called anti-plague, but they named it anti-plague after that. But is ginger, which has a very safe profile, right? There's no contradiction. People cook with ginger all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Is garlic, is cayenne pepper. If you have ulcer, maybe you don't want to add the cayenne pepper.
It sounds like we're about to make a good sauce.
Right.
I mean,
throw on something, you know?
Horseradish. Red onion.
I like everything.
And a little bit of apple cider vinegar.
Oh, you know, that's pretty close. My wife been making me that whenever I'm sick. She throws a little bit of honey sometimes, but that's because I'm a baby when it comes to medicine. So, but she does something similar to that. So, why don't we get that written up? Because all those have a relatively safe profile, is what you're saying for people, because you kind of cook with that on the regular and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we're not introducing something that might affect somebody's conditions.
Yeah.
And so it'll be an apple cider vinegar base, is what you're saying?
Apple cider vinegar base,
okay. What? Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Okay. If you want to try to take it and screen it, go ahead.
Caller, can you hear us?
I can't hear them here.
No. Caller, can you hear us?
Together and throw that on there so people
can
work on that.
On
she'll do like some of that. She'll do the red onion. She'll do like the can and
that. But like, do you take that as like shots or?
So I made like two like mason jars, and you can keep it in your fridge.
Range just sips on it from a straw.
Nah, I take a spoon.
Once a day.
Yeah, my wife will give me like a tablespoon when she does.
Yeah, I write that because we're not. We do it like two or three times a week, and you want to take it at night because garlic is strong and everybody around you.
Yeah. The drain is wrong.
So if you get a lot of it, you can keep it for years because nothing will grow.
Yeah.
It kills everything. Garlic, ginger, horseradish,
I can attest. It kills everything.
So, it's one of your spouse. And you just, you know, put it in your fridge and you take like a teaspoon, a tablespoon every day. Because there is going to be a second wave. And we've been getting emails.
Right.
They've been telling us what to tell patients and whatnot.
Yeah.
So maybe down the line we can have like a whole session on COVID because it's so big.
Yeah. If you want to prep that out, I think we can have you maybe like middle of the summer. We'll have you on again because they're saying there will be a second wave.
And,
you know, they're letting you know that, you know,
it's coming.
That thing is mutating and obviously.
I know they were saying
different things, but I will say this: we do know they have labs and they do stuff, and they can definitely increase how virulent something can be. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, so we definitely all want to be mindful of that and we want to work on that. So, go ahead, sis.
Okay. So I'm going to leave with this. No amount of herb or supplement or any concoction you make in your home is going to make up for a life that is out of balance.
Yeah.
You can't just any type of way, not hydrate, not deal with your stress, not like sleep properly, you know, mind, body. Like you can't just live any type of way and be like, oh, COVID is coming, let me take this herb. It's not going to work. And that's why a lot of our people are getting hit real hard. They're like, oh, I took out my, you know, I gave my grandma elderberry, she still died. You can't just take one thing today and expect it. It has to be a holistic approach, mind, body, that's it.
Right. Our brother put a good thing. He said, Esau's tweaking, not necessarily mutating it. They probably little things here and there.
Just a tweak.
Just tweak. Just a tweak just a little bit here. hey, brothers and sisters, now's the time to start making those changes, right? So, I mean, that way it can have more impact, you know, as this thing they say is going to come around in the fall and the winter. You have several months now where you can really make that lifestyle change, work your way back to, you know, a better, healthier you, and then, you know, be able to combat it. So that way, maybe if you do get it, it's not as severe. I know historically when I've gotten flu or things like that, I don't have it for 2-3 weeks and stuff like that. I mean, you know, well, if I'm truly celiac, I have I do know I have some autoimmune because I have the HS.
Oh.
So I have the HS, which is autoimmune. The hydradenitis, the hydradenitis over
there. I have that.
So that's
too.
Autoimmune. So, so I do have that. I actually have it fairly under control now. I don't know if it's just everything that I've done or whatever, but so I do know I have a hyper immune system, and when I'm sick, that's helpful.
Right.
I know they wanted to give me the Humira, and I didn't want to do it because anything to me, my thing was like that suppresses my immune system.
Yeah.
That's not the answer.
No, I had other things for
I said I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So, I've stayed away from it, and I've been okay.
Yeah.
I've been okay for probably 6-7 months now. So,
Esteemed broccoli with the
red onions.
All right,
boo, boo hooked it up. Super.
And
good.
Very lastly, COVID. It's not deadly. I make it seem we've had a lot of patients who had COVID who have recovered and who have done well. And I was talking to an MD colleague of mine. She's actually a resident at a Banner hospital, and she was like, well, I can always make the argument that the patients that see you guys are generally healthy. And I was like, well, that's my whole point. Like, don't you want to know how our patients are healthy and they getting over COVID?
Right.
You know what she said? She said, no, I'll just bring them to you because I don't get paid to do that.
Wow.
That's literally. And I looked at her and she's like, I'm sorry. Like, insurance companies don't pay me to sit down and talk to patients about their diet. I know what you guys are doing works. That's why I'm going to send my patients to you, but I don't have the time to do that.
Yeah.
So that's something to think about.
Yeah, no, of course. There's bigger things at play here. Like we were having a discussion the other day in text through the three captains here. I told them, I said, you know, I often feel this. If it's very public, the information, like, you know, like it's probably not what we think their plan is.
Right.
You know,
right.
they're a lot more crafty than that. There's bigger things at play. I still think there's somebody somewhere somehow was making money off of this whole thing. Like, that was my thing from the get. I said, I think this is financially driven, how it's going down, because those super elite, you know, this is going more obviously into crafty council and stuff. They make money good times and bad times. And, you know, they're talking about the economy being bad, but you're going to see a lot of people come out of this like fat cats, you know, the rich getting richer and stuff like that.
Yeah, like my boss.
Yeah, so somehow, some way. But thank you, sister. Right. Obviously, the strong approach to this is let's all work together to get ourselves on a level of better health. We have several months now to build yourself up. Hey, if you're healthy, then get yourself healthier. I mean, nobody likes to be sick. Even if you get a mild version of it, I'm sure it'll be very uncomfortable and things like that. And if you know you got some serious issues, let's rectify them. I mean, some disciplined effort over 3-4 months, I'm sure can be huge. It doesn't even take that long if you're disciplined and consistent. Yeah. You'll see some big impact right away.
Not obsessive,
right? Enjoy the feast day, but don't get crazy, right? don't do anything that'll take you off the rails on that stuff. So we'll post up the little ingredients for the anti-plague, right? We'll throw that out there for brothers and sisters. And like I always say, just really educate yourself properly. Listen, the scripture says don't be like a reed shaken in the wind. Don't be carried about with divers doctrines. Our people have it in us to kind of go left, right, up, down, based on whatever sounds good, right? Obviously, that's talking about with sin and whatever. But if you're susceptible to that, you're going to be susceptible to whatever you see out there, right? So the point is, we're predisposed to be that way. Be more mindful of that. All right, let me see what this question is if we have time to answer. Once the COVID-19 enters down the windpipe and into your lungs, is there any way to stop the fibrosis of the lungs?
Absolutely.
Okay. So do you want to say something about that?
Sure. There's a lot of nutrients and supplements now that we are using for that. A very common one is NAC. You can look NAC up. What it literally does, it dissolves mucus from your lungs.
Okay.
It's N and
is that N acetylcysteine?
Yeah.
Okay.
It dissolves mucus from your lungs.
That's what they give in high doses for Tylenol poisoning, right? For the liver, is that the one that they give?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
In the hospital, supervised. They give it in high doses.
Yeah.
To detoxify the liver.
Mm-hmm. Also, high dose vitamin C.
Yeah.
IV. Not you can just. Yeah. At this point, you do need intravenous high dose vitamin C.
Yeah. And there's services for that. I didn't know that. That they come with IVs to give you, they'll come in home.
Yeah.
I mean, it costs some money, maybe $100 or so, but I hear it's very beneficial. Like, I have a student who's a nurse, and she was telling me about it, like, when my whole house was getting all sick.
Yeah.
She was like, hey, you know, you guys should maybe look into the IV. They'll come and give you, like, the vitamins and stuff intravenously.
Yeah, that really helps. Mm-hmm. And castor oil.
Castor oil. I know. I think on your recommendation, my wife got like a gallon of it or something.
We've gone through like a whole
gallon. Uh-huh, the castor
oil. Wrap castor oil on your chest and put it like a warm pack on it. Castor oil is one of the most potent anti-inflammatory, anti-fibrotic oils that we have out there. So we use it for patients with like different kinds of like tumors, like fibroids.
Yeah.
Literally like
shrinking. Hey, and I'll say this. I imagine you have, or you're probably going to continue to do on your page, right? Let's throw her page up again. Let's not give it all away on the show. All right. let's help the sister out. You could go to her YouTube page and, you know, you can get it in more detail and focused and without us talking over her. All right. So you just get her direct video right there. All right. So you can check out the sister's YouTube page, and I'm sure she has a ton of healthy looks good on you. Look at that. There we go. Look, she only has 550 subscribers, and we have how many people in the body? Come on, brothers and sisters. Subscribe to the sister's page. All right. Put the notification on, right? And help the sister out. All right. She's giving out good information, life-saving advice. All right. So that's the show. All praise the sister. Thank you. All right. I appreciate the three episodes that you've done with us here. Okay. Like, share, support, brothers and sisters. All right. This is great information that can be very beneficial. All right. So with that, we say shalom.
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 Send it to Rain.
Send it to my wife.
Oh, shit. Well, it's